Hey everybody, it's your boy Buzz from Bulls on Tap and Sox on Tap, brought to you by OnTapSportsNet.com. And I want to talk to you about something. These podcasts are now presented by Manscaped. If you're looking for the best manscaping products on the planet, go to Manscaped.com and browse their awesome selection. The Lawnmower 3.0 brings you 7,000 RPMs of skin-safe technology so you don't nick your balls or any other sensitive areas. Want to keep your boys fresh all day? No problem. Go and pick up the ball toner and deodorant so you're fresh all day long. Go to Manscaped.com and use promo code ONTAP to get 20% off and free shipping and handling on all your manscaping needs. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we are here after a 124-104 loss to the Atlanta Hawks. Before we get into this episode, be sure you're going to OnTapSportsNet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at OnTapSportsNet, following Goose at Bull Scripted, following me at Buzz on Tap. And anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. What was not cool and tough was the Bulls' performance tonight. Absolutely fucking dreadful. Dreadful from top to bottom. And then you get the fans out there, what did you expect? And then you get the other fans out there, well, you know, it's a 9-month layoff, so it's all okay. Let me feel my emotions, motherfuckers, all right? Let me feel my emotions. So I don't know what your emotions are like right now, Goose, but I'm kind of all over the place.
My emotions are I have been pouring heavy since the beginning of the game. So I'm not angry. I'm actually feeling pretty light and somewhat positive given the circumstances. But I do find humor in what you're bringing up of what goes on Twitter. And it's like, because we had a negative draft reaction, that if we're not extremely positive or extremely pessimistic, we're just being off brand, when we were just reacting entirely how we felt. And it wasn't even so much drafting Patrick Williams. It was the lack of everything else that didn't happen. And as you watch this team play right now, I mean, it's one game. We've played 5 games. I guess we're technically 3-2 instead of 0-1. But when you look at our next 11 games, it's not exactly exciting to see what's coming. So
there's going to be a lot of drunken Bulls on Taps, man.
Hey, man, and that makes for good radio, good pod, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I'm not being pessimistic. This is kind of what I was cautioning towards. So maybe I'm sitting on my high horse going, oh, man, you're hating on me because I wasn't crowning Kawhi Jr. and preaching playoffs. Like, I was optimistic the last 2 years. In year three of the same roster, with a 19-year-old added, and Garrett Temple, who hasn't played yet, Satoransky and Thad, who are our veterans, who didn't play tonight. No, I'm not. I expect Billy to be a great coach, but I feel he's been tested tonight. The only real positive change and thing that we took a risk on was firing Jim Boylan, which wasn't a fucking risk at all. That was the most obvious franchise decision in NBA history for a new front office that still took way too long to do that. So I love the Billy move. I don't know that after the first game against the Rockets and our first real game that matters against somewhat competition that isn't the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Rockets C team, I don't know that not making any moves is looking very bright right now. And Lauri Markkanen was the best player on the floor tonight, and we said, fuck you, to a discounted contract. So, I'm cool, but I'm still kind of skeptical.
Yeah, so we're going to get into this one. Bulls outscored 42-29 in the first quarter. Started off hot, 7-2 for the Bulls at one point. Lowry hit the first bucket of the season, a corner three, assisted on by Zach LaVine. That was his only assist of the night. So
don't do it to him.
I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to. I was like, God, you know, I'm telling you, instant Chubb, bro, instant Chubb. Once I saw Zach kick the ball out, Lowry hit the three. I'm like, oh.
By what? No hesitation. I think we were up like 7-3, 7-4, something like that. I was like, all right, this is gonna be cool. The Hawks don't have shit for players right now. Even if we kept Chris Dunn, he kind of locked down Trae Young tonight because he didn't play. The first shot compared to the end of the first, just
oh, it was fucking night and day. It was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde of basketball. It was just unbelievable. Bulls came out with a little bit of energy there within the first minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then it just kind of went to hell from there. Wendell Carter Jr.
I'm glad you said that, because I was about to cut you off and then say Wendell Carter Jr. happened.
Right, Wendell Carter Jr. happened, and he had two turnovers in the first quarter, then his third turnover, I believe, came in the second.
Oh, no, he had three in the first.
Oh, was it all three in the first? Oh, you're right. I did tweet that. It was all three in the first. Okay, yep. He had three turnovers in the first quarter, looked absolutely lost on both ends of the court. Listen, the Bulls team defense was not good tonight, but there's no – you cannot defend him not rotating over. You can't defend that. He didn't know what he was doing, and it was just – it blew me away. It really did. It blew me away a little bit because I'm going to be honest with you. You know I'm not the biggest Wendell guy. I've stated it on this podcast before, but I know, Goose, he's smarter than that. I don't know if he's so far in his own head. I don't know what's going on. He is smarter than that. And we've seen him be smarter than that.
No, and that's what's hard to swallow. I don't care if Wendell jacked 10 threes in the first quarter. We watched him have the chair pulled out from him twice, fall on his ass, throw the ball away, was fouling, wasn't even a defensive presence. And last year was acceptable because you were taking him out of his element. You were taking him out of the perimeter. You were taking away from rim protection and forcing him to blitz. Now we're playing drop coverage. And anybody who follows NBA media in general knew that tonight was the worst night for the Bulls to be playing drop coverage for their first time ever after running a base defense that they looked like shit in all throughout preseason. We ran the drop defense, and we got killed. We were late on everything. We were not close to closing out on pick and pops, and it looked horrible. If this was not Wendell's comfort zone, if we were in Jim's old blitz scheme, maybe his performance tonight would be acceptable. And the offensive turnovers, the dumbfounding decisions on that end, really, they don't bother me. I expect that from Wendell still at this point. In taking on a lot bigger role on that end, we are going to see a lot of shit like that to start the season.
Yeah.
But the defensive end, where you've made your staple, we need you. We don't have defense outside of you and Patrick Williams and out of Porter Jr. That's about the three defenders we got. Maybe Hutch, who, outside of not being able to make a back fucking bucket, looks good. The effort's there, but this performance from Wendell Carter Jr. has to change, and it has to change very quickly.
Yeah, and another thing, that just to kind of critique his game here a little bit, I mean, we saw the Wendell Carter Jr. not even look at the rim again, getting the ball at the elbow, and that was something I'm going to be honest with you, I was shocked. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, take the midi, bro. I'm like, did someone tell him not to take the midi again? Like, because who said it? I'm going to fucking slap him. Like, why are you not looking at the rim?
No. He's getting Ben Simmons treatment outside of the paint, 100%.
And I know he can hit that. Wendell can hit it.
That is not his issue. The NBA three-point, that might be a stretch at this point. That midi, not a problem.
Yeah, I was just shocked to see him not even look at the rim. And I get it's the first game, but we're going to critique it as we see it here. I was just shocked to see him not look at the rim. I said this in my little halftime show that I did because I just had a talk about it. Zach's a walking bucket, but he got into foul trouble early, and you know, two of those were fucking ticky-tack, and I was not happy with that. I thought it was a little bit of bullshit, personally. But, you know, Zach didn't look great tonight from behind the arc. He went 1 for 8. He was 9 for 19 from the field. He finished with 22 points. That's not a great shooting night. It's not a great shooting night from him. He got cooked on defense by Trae Young. He couldn't stay with him. A little bit discouraging to see there. Moving into Kobe White, why? What happened? That was just something that I was kind of not overly surprised, because we've questioned his ability to play point guard. I have belief that he can do it if he sets his mind to it. But tonight he struggled mightily. I don't know if Kobe can be the guy that initiates the offense and also be the guy that can find his rhythm on offense himself. And that's something that we pointed out in an off-season episode. It was something that we pointed out in a preseason episode. We would like to see it, though, because he does have decent court vision. Now, in the second quarter, he did miss a wide-open Otto Porter Jr. Otto Porter Jr. was standing right at the top of the key, could have kicked it over to Lowry for a three. Kobe was kind of John Lucas the Third in me by dribble, 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 dribble. And, didn't decide to look over. And I was just kind of like, motherfucker, Kobe. But then he got it again. I mean, he finishes the game here tonight, Goose, with 9 points on 2-for-11 shooting, 1-for-7 downtown. And he comes away with 3 turnovers, 7 assists, 2 boards.
Wait. I hate to cut you off, and I do this to you too much, but he had 7 assists?
Yeah, he had 7 assists tonight. Kobe White had seven assists tonight.
How?
He found in stride a big I think he got three of them, two of them off of Lowry for sure. He got two of them off of Zach for sure, and then I think he got one. I know he for sure got one off P. Will, so that's five. The other two I just kind of missed in stride of just kind of doing things while I was watching the game. But he finished with 7 assists tonight.
Oh no, I mean, I don't even have a kid or other priorities that I have to focus on while I'm watching the game, and I had to ask you how he ended up with that many assists, because looking at the box score and watching the game, you would not have picked that up.
Well, I think
the turnovers stood out to me more than the assists.
Right. Well, I think that he stopped looking for his shot after a while because it wasn't working. I mean, if you notice the volume of his shot in the first, it went down in the second, and even in the third quarter, it went down a little bit. He started to look because he knew it just wasn't falling for him. So if he had the opportunity to take an open three, or it was a rushed shot clock shot, that's when he was getting a bulk of his shots there, because like the first 5 or 6 he took, it was just like nothing was working for him. So he started picking his spots after that and seemed to try to be initiating the offense as much as he could. But the backcourt play was just abysmal. And I will say one thing about Kobe White. I do give him credit trying to guard Cam Reddish, trying to chase him around off the ball and staying with Cam. But this is something that Cam Reddish is going to be a problem in the NBA. This is something that I said.
Stop.
I'm going to say it.
I don't want to. No, don't say it. I want it.
Dude, he's going to be a fucking problem. He's a good player. And he was too big for Kobe White tonight. And Kobe White struggled with him. Kobe struggled on both ends of the floor. It was hard. It was hard to watch. And, they have a lot of adjustments to make before they come out for their next game, because that was just. The backcourt didn't play well. I mean, the backcourt didn't play well. Let's get into somebody who did play well, and let's talk about Patrick Williams. He goes 5-for-11 tonight, Goose. 1-for-3 from downtown. 5-for-6 from the charity stripe. He finishes with 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, no turnovers, and 16 points here tonight. Patrick Williams looked pretty good, and a lot of great passes in stride. And some good court vision from Pat Williams tonight, which I was, I was pretty happy to see.
See, the weird thing for me is 16 points almost surprises me as well, because I don't feel that he had 16 points, but at the same time, he plays in the flow of the offense, doesn't really force things. Maybe I'm focusing on the few times that he did force things, but 16 points, that's pretty encouraging. And I know I tweeted out in the first half that Zach, him, and Lowry were the only ones that showed up, because in the first half, Zach was there, and Zach was carrying the load and trying to get this team back into it for a little bit of the end of the first and into the second there. But Pat Will with 16 points, no, that's encouraging. Seeing more of Lowry at the five. Is Wendell going to be the odd man out in most of these rotations towards the end of the year if he doesn't pick it up?
If he doesn't pick it up, absolutely.
Because Pat Will, Lowry, 4-5, especially against a team like Atlanta that threw John Collins at the 5 tonight, that might have been your best bet instead of Wenzel the way that he played tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another guy that you just brought up. Let's talk about Lauri Markkanen. We're going to talk about the good and the bad with Lauri Markkanen. He had two really bad turnovers. He had about two or three late defensive rotations over, but that's kind of to be expected here and there with Lauri. He starts off 4 for 5 from downtown in the first half. All right, he goes 6 for 8 from the field in the first half. Hitting the three, wasn't super aggressive like I wanted him to be, because we've seen this story play out a million times. He has a game where he hits some threes. The next, he's going to have a similar stat line next game, except the three-pointers aren't going to be hit, and it's not going to be the best game. He wasn't aggressive trying to get to the paint. I will say the Bulls did not look for him, and that's on Zach, and that's on Kobe as well. There's a couple mismatches that Lauri had off of switches that they did not exploit, and that you have to realize that. You have to realize when you have a 7-footer on somebody who's 6'4 or 6'5. You need to realize that. You need to exploit it. Moving on from the good, you know, from the 21 points, the 7 rebounds, the 4 assists, the 1 steal for Lauri Markkanen, he got one shot up in the second half. One shot up in the second half. And that is a story that we have been reading about Lauri Markkanen from the second half of his sophomore year through all of last year and to the first game of this year. Where the fuck did he go?
I mean, we were down 40 points, bro.
I understand that, but fuck.
He's the only one that played along Zach and Pat in the first half. Did he not lead the team in assists? Like, Lauri tonight was the best playmaker on the floor.
I think he got most of his assists in that second half, actually. I think he got 3 of them in the second half. At least, yeah, I think he got 3 of them in the second half. So, you know.
So, I mean, killing him for trying to show something else when we're down 40 fucking points.
Well, it's not just that, though. We weren't down 40 points to start the third.
We were down 30 points and it got up to 40.
Well, maybe if he would have shot the fucking ball, it wouldn't have happened.
I'm sorry. I guess maybe at that point, Lauri was maybe back in his emotions, like the gym days. Nobody else showed up in the first half. I'm going to be passive and show something else off in the second. I don't think we can throw this one on Lauri.
No, I'm not throwing anything on Lauri. I'm just saying that I just really wish he would have been able to get more attempts.
Well, and the only thing that I was glad to see that Billy did ride out rotational players deep into the third, early into the fourth, trying to build some of the continuity that we clearly need.
Yeah.
But I guess Lauri's second half was uneventful after the first half.
Yeah. Another thing, too, with Lauri is just there seemed to be a confidence there. He's running the floor hard. His defense actually improved there in the second half as well, I will say that. He was giving it his all. I'll say that. Daniel Gafford looked all right tonight. He didn't turn the ball over, which was cool. I just wish that boy could rebound a little bit better. He's got the height for it. I just don't think he – and he's strong. You can see that he's strong.
The way he dunks on people, you think he'd be grabbing boards the same way?
I mean, I think he'd be like dicking down dudes, jumping up, like putting the balls on their fucking shoulders and grabbing the board, dude. It just doesn't happen. And I'm just so confused on why. But I think
and he still looked better than Wendell.
Roy, he finished a +2 in the plus minus there.
Only one.
Your favorite player also finished +6. That was Ryan Arcidiacono, and Chandler Hutchinson was +4. And Makoka was +6.
So, more proof that plus minus sucks.
Otto Porter Jr., he played a good game tonight. He gave the Bulls some energy, actually, when he came in. He grabbed 2 offensive boards in the first half. He brought some good energy. Makoka brought some good energy. I want him to be able to shoot a little bit better. And then once Ryan Arcidiacono came in, I was just like, motherfucker, it's just done. It's done.
Yeah, it's really sad to realize how much Tomas Satoransky actually means to this team.
It's really sad to realize how much Chris Dunn meant to this fucking team.
We're not going to go there. I had somebody tweet at me earlier, I wish we drafted Cam Reddish over Coby White. And I'm just thinking about the Bulls roster if I was drafting. And Kevin Knox might be a piece of shit. I would have taken him over Wendell Carter Jr. then I would have taken Cam Reddish, and I probably would have taken Isaac Okoro. So if you're playing Zach LaVine at point guard like he's forced to play at this point, Zach, Okoro, Reddish, Knox, I don't know. Either way,
It's definitely this game was definitely a hard pill to swallow.
Save me.
Yep.
I'm trying to be positive about a 40-point deficit in the first season game.
I mean, fuck, Trey.
The easiest team we're going to play for the next fucking 2 weeks. Oh, God.
Trey Young comes out in 26 minutes, has 37 fucking points, 7 assists, and 10 for 12 from the field.
Did you see every player on our team riding his hip into that James Harden impersonation bullshit?
Oh, yeah.
Over and over again. And like I prefaced this show with, Chris Dunn would have been available to play tonight even if we retained him. But, man, watching the difference between the 5-2 Bulls that were 5-2 against the Atlanta Hawks for the last 2 years and watching the game tonight, holy shit.
Well, you know,
Atlanta, they didn't have Capella, Okongo, Snell, Dunn. You could go down the line, and we still got our
ton of young talent on that team. Ton of young talent on that team. And you know what Trey got better at, I think, this offseason was his stopgap hesitation. When he comes off the screen and just fucking stops and someone runs in the back of him, like, I'm just like, dude, like, how many times I see that shit? Like, 3 or 4? I'm like, okay.
No. He literally just watched film. They're like, people are overly aggressive on me. I'm just going to toss it up, get a foul, go to the free throw line.
Yeah.
And he scored 30 points a game last season.
I mean,
and now he's... Now he's adding that? Fuck me.
Fucking Gallo had only shoot the ball 6 times. I mean, you know, they dicked us down hard, dude. That's all you can say is they dicked us down real
and
hard.
And it hurts because they're supposed to be equal competition. This is one of 3 games in the first 12 to 15 that we actually had like an equal shot at. Close to equal shot at. This is going to get rough, man.
There's 71 games left, all right? I know you didn't pick them in our season preview episode. I said anywhere from 30 to 33 wins. I think that they'll improve that much with a better coach, and I still believe that. They're not a playoff team. I know this. Not a playoff team. I've said that. The biggest thing you want to see this season is growth and development, and I think that the reason that I think it's fair that I'm irritated and you're irritated is the first game after coming off after a 9-month layoff, I'd like to see some growth and development. I know you haven't played in a while, but you're with a better head coach, and you know you're another year working on your craft, just trying to get there. It was just the effort was minimal tonight, I felt, until the game was out of reach, and they tried to claw back a little bit. It just didn't happen. But I mean, honestly, dude, that's straight up all I have for this. I mean, we got fucking dicked down. That's all I can say. We got taken out.
The exclamation mark that I have to add to the point that you just made is we had one of the youngest players in the NBA in Patrick Williams. Regardless of my draft night opinion of that selection and the reluctance to make a bigger move to move up. If the 19-year-old rookie looks more comfortable on the floor than the rest of your team, you have a fucking problem.
You're going to have a bad time.
this kid has seen 4 preseason games, and outside of Zach LaVine, who always looks comfortable on the offensive end, and was taken out of his element on the defensive end because we don't have the defensive stopper there anymore. What do you have other than that to be positive about? Ed Mokoka played his ass off, and I hope he gets more minutes to the point where Luke Kornet, regardless of the situation, didn't see any minutes. Felicio didn't see any minutes. I hope that these players...
That's the problem, really.
Well, no, I mean, yeah.
If Felicio would have played, we would have won.
All right, I was going to say, if you have Felicio and Kornet on your roster in COVID times, and they can't even get minutes when you're down 40 points, that's a problem. But, hey, man, you're right. Felicio not playing, Wendell Carter looking like Felicio, that would be a fucking problem, too.
Yeah. Like I said, Archie Diacono in our rotation means we're probably a bad team.
Yeah, we said that too many times, and I had a celebratory tweet earlier in the day today when I heard that Sato was going to be available and then we didn't see him for a single minute of play, and Archie and his man bun come bouncing in halfway through the first, and I'm like, we're fucked. Time to pour this shit up.
Oh god, man. Oh, was it rough.
We ain't coming back. Well, we got Felicio and Cornette coming off the bench with no Thad, no Sato. So hopefully the veterans get right and get back, and we're not just scouting college basketball all year, because that's what this first game looked like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm ready to move out of this one if you are, and move into Saturday's game, which is the day after Christmas. It'll be December 26th on Saturday. I believe it was a 6:30 start for the Chicago Bulls. They will be playing the Indiana Pacers. Now, Indiana's...
Wait, you mean we didn't earn the right to play on Christmas Day?
We did not.
We didn't? Fuck.
We did not, so we're going to have to watch better basketball be played on Christmas Day, which will probably not ruin our Christmases, which is nice. You know, it was like kind of like Thanksgiving for me this year. When the Bears didn't play, I knew I wouldn't be let down. I know I could just fucking enjoy my day.
You mean I can get drunk without worrying about making an ass of myself?
That's yeah, absolutely. And it means that we don't have to work Christmas either and like be like, hey, what you get? Oh, I got this, but then I got depressed and broke it because the Bulls got their ass whipped on national TV. So, you know, we don't need to go that route. But they play the Pacers on the 26th. And I will say that if the defense does not improve, Miles Turner and Sabonis are gonna eat us the fuck up. And Victor Oladipo and Malcolm Brogdon are going to eat us the fuck up. So they're going to have to figure that out real quick. Real quick turnaround here. Well, not a quick turnaround. They have Thursday, Friday off, obviously. But, you know, they'll be back in 2 days here, and hopefully Billy can get them ready and get them in good spirits and make something happen here, because Indiana is a playoff team. They are a good team. So let's see what the Bulls can do.
Hey, hopefully all Billy wants for Christmas is some more effort and some legitimate defense, because I don't know that it's going to be solved over that long holiday, but hopefully some coal in their lockers will wake some people up, because Billy's going to turn into Jimbo real quick, like, if we don't get our shit together.
Yeah, he's gonna install a fucking time clock and see how many
time
people...
clock.
Yeah,
laps. Can you do more push-ups than me, because your effort fucking sucks? I'm not even fat anymore. Billy's not fat, so you didn't even have that motivational factor anymore. If Jimbo's out doing it in push-ups, you know you suck. If Billy's out doing it, well, maybe he's just a super freak, and maybe you can live with that. But we need some effort, we need some hustle, and we need some fucking defense, because clearly our offense is not going to be good enough.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's all I got for this episode, man. If you got anything else to lead out or anything else to say before we ride out into the sunset and return on the 26th with a hopeful eventual win over the Pacers, you got anything else?
No, there's nothing sexy about this game. I hope y'all have a great holiday, whether it's Christmas or other, and enjoy your time with your family while you can, and let's hope for the better for the Bulls, or we'll be counting lottery tickets again.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment there. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwan, whatever you celebrate, happy to you. I hope it's great and merry and fun, and I hope you have a good time with your family in this COVID world. Again, we'll be back Saturday after the Bulls play the Pacers. Be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. And anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review. We'll be back Saturday. Let's go Bulls.